Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about what it means to be in Christ. You know, I teach anatomy and physiology at NABTC. That's my full-time job, and I do this whenever I have the opportunity to preach. And it's just amazing. The body is just amazing. Don't you think? I think the body is just an incredible manufacturing example of the Lord, you know? And the more I learn about the body, the more I'm just amazed by what God has done and what God is doing. And we're looking at Hebrews chapter 10 today. You know, just like a physical body, you know, our spiritual self can be derailed, right? Can be kind of knocked off track, you know. What we eat spiritually, you know, movies we watch, things that we do, stuff like that can get you a little off track, right? So we need help to get us back on track, and that's what we're going to look at here today. How many of you guys paying attention to the political ads? You guys watching the news at all? Trying to avoid it as much as possible? Oh, I love that. I love that Tostitos commercial. You guys seen that Tostitos commercial? No, have you? Yeah, no? You got to watch. I think you got to watch some sports. I think it's on usually when it's during a sports game. So maybe this afternoon when you guys are watching the Packers game or if you're into that kind of thing. But one of the candidates is up there and he's telling the other candidate how he's been flip-flopping. And then the other candidate tells the same thing back and forth. And so they're accusing each other of not having a stable foundation. You know, but that's true of our culture today, isn't it? Isn't our culture a little unstable? Doesn't it seem like society flip-flops a lot? You know, one day you're for this, next day you change your mind, you know? Sometimes I guess that's our prerogative, depending on what we see and the information that we have. But our society is very unstable. And it's really important to know who we are as an individual. Amen? Know who you are as a man, know who you are as a woman. Knowing who you are is so important to what we do and where we're headed. It directs our actions, right? If you know where you're headed, everything that you're going to do is going to point you in that direction so that you don't get off track. Amen? Now, I think a lot of people, even as Americans, we're kind of confused as to what that means. You guys notice that? What does it mean to be an American? You know, some see America as kind of being a control freak, right? Dominating. They tell all the other countries kind of what to do, and if they don't like it, we go over there and straighten things out. Others think of America as a country who fights for the poor and for the weak, right? I mean, that's kind of the way I say things. When you look at America, the way I look at America is that we're the defender of the weak, right? We're the defender of the poor. We kind of help things out, make sure that everybody has a voice to be heard. The world isn't appreciative of that too much, you know? People don't like that. When everybody has the opportunity to say what they think. Example, right? Have you guys heard of that video that's come out and the uproar that it's caused? They've actually arrested the person who produced it. I think it's kind of a trumped up kind of thing, but maybe they're doing it for their own protection. Maybe that's kind of what they're doing it for. But you see, in America, we have the opportunity to say what we believe, to say what we think. And sometimes it's a little offensive. I know there's a lot of people that say things that I find offensive, but it's our right as an American, right? But what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian in today's society? So often, I think Christians are kind of used as a scapegoat, right? Kind of blamed for a lot of the problems and a lot of the difficulties that people endure. Being a Christian, though, means that we take on the character of Christ. We're filled with His character, right? His tendencies, His thought processes, His heart. And I think that a lot of times we as Christians kind of forget that. We kind of get into our own ruts where we lose sight of the fact that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You guys with me? All right. So think about who you are, who your family is. What does it mean to be a Blattner? What does it mean to be a Hines? You know, thinking about that, what do you want people to think of you? Right? A De Leon. What does it mean to be a De Leon? Is it fun? Yeah. You know, when I think of what I would like a Hines to be, you know, I want people to know that if they know me and if they know a Hines, they've found a friend for life. Amen? You know, if you guys get to know me, I want you guys to know that I'm your friend for life. That if I say that I'm going to do something, that I'm going to stick to it, even if it gets tough. You know, I want my yes to be yes and my no to be no. That if you're going through a hard time, I want you to know that I'm going to be there right with you. And that I want people to know that I love the Lord with all my heart and that I'm always ready to share my faith in Christ. That's what I want people to think of when they think about me or my family. You know? So when people look at you and you say that you're a Christian, what does that stimulate in them? You know? What does that stimulate in them? Does the world see what you want them to see? You know, it's interesting how the world looks at Christians. We just heard this past week about an instructor in UWGB. It was a philosophy class. And you know, philosophy is basically just a bunch of man's thoughts, right? You think of things, you dwell on things, and you rationalize things, and that's philosophy. Well, apparently this individual didn't like Christians very much, and so the first thing he did at the start of class was say, is anybody here a Christian? Does anybody believe that the Word of God is inerrant? And apparently a student stood up and said, yeah, I believe that. And then he like challenged her to a debate right in front of class. Oh, he asked her to defend her position. Okay, to defend her position as being a Christian. Okay, so basically prove it, you know? And can you imagine that happening to you in an auditorium? I don't know. I'm assuming that it's probably an auditorium where you have all these couple hundred students out there, maybe. When I was in philosophy classes, it was in an auditorium, 300-400 students. Can you imagine being put on the spot like that and being challenged in that way? Yeah. And so I hear things like that quite a bit and even experience that to quite a degree as an instructor myself. Other instructors not appreciating that position, you know, weren't afraid to stir up a little trouble here and there. We just had to deal with that regarding my faith not too long ago, where another instructor was kind of offended that I was a Christian and that I would actually pray for students if they had a problem. But that's okay, right? At least I don't find anything wrong with that. It's an opportunity for me to show again what my character is, to show what it means to be a Christian. Many times when we look at, when people look at Christians, and one of the things that we're going to be looking at this morning is how the devil likes nothing more than to create a situation where Christianity itself loses all of its power, loses all of its strength. Have you guys ever seen that? Where the devil just wants to rob you of your joy of being a Christian, to make it more of a burden to come to church, to make it a burden to pray, to make it a burden to have great expectations about the God who created the universe. Have you ever lost your joy or ever felt just devastated that you have not been able to overcome some sin in your life? Maybe it's just fear. Maybe you just have this fear or this anxiety of the future that you just haven't been able to shake. And being a Christian doesn't mean that we don't face trials and don't face struggles, but it does mean that we, as children of God, have it in us. It's in us to overcome those things, right? It's in us to see change. It's in us to see the miraculous power of God at work in his life. But a lot of us are stuck in the old man, okay? A lot of us are kind of stuck in that old mindset where we're constantly beating ourselves up, constantly trying to do better, trying to work our way back into God's grace. Have you guys ever found yourself doing that? Have you ever found yourself, oh, I got to change, I got to do it differently because, you know, if it's going to be, it's up to me, right? You ever hear that? I had quite an experience yesterday. I was out in the woods and walking around out there, and it's a beautiful day. Did you guys enjoy the day yesterday? It was gorgeous, gorgeous. I think it's supposed to be nice today and tomorrow and Tuesday. And I was out checking my deer cams. Any hunters out here? You guys ever hunt? Any of you guys hunt? A couple of you guys? Just a couple of you guys? See, Ron, I could always count Ron LeFave to raise his hand because he was a big hunter. He was a big deer hunter. And I think Jimmy's a deer hunter too. But I'm looking for the big buck this year. I'm looking for the 10-pointer or the 30-pointer or whatever comes out. Whatever comes out that has horns on it, I'm up for it. But I was out there and I was checking my deer cam, and here it was. It was knocked off the tree and it was lying on the ground, and the clip was broken. And I'm like, who is out here messing with my stuff? And I started going through all the people that I could accuse. Oh, I'm so mad at this person. No, it probably couldn't be that person. It was probably my uncle, because he has his cameras out there too, and I'm like competing with him for the big buck this year. Like, oh, it's him. He must have been messing with my camera. So I was so angry. Well, as I took out the card and I put it in my computer and I'm downloading the pictures, turns out it's this great big hairy dude, about 350 pounds at least. Yeah. Why don't you flip that up there, Randy? Yeah. So, yeah, here I am. Sitting there getting all mad at my uncle and getting all mad at some, it wasn't my neighbor, he was walking out here and didn't want to get caught on camera. And here it is, a big old bear. Why don't you go to the next one? This one's a little disturbing. This is a little disturbing, all right? It kind of freaked me out at first. I'm like, what is this? And here he is, checking out the camera. I don't have the next one on, but the next one, the camera's flying. It's got this picture of the trees spinning in a big circle. But apparently he got curious and came up with the camera and, you know, batted it around a little bit. The camera is still working. It's just the strap is broke on it. So I got away lucky. My cousin had one attack his camera last year and just obliterated it. So he just smashed it. And about 50 miles northeast, northwest of here. Yeah. No. Yeah, so... Yeah, I was kind of worried. I mean, I take the boys up there quite a bit, and now we got to worry about this big old fat bear. So I'm going to be packing heat next time I go up there. But here I am. I'm sitting there getting all angry and all mad and all upset, putting myself into a tizzy, and it wasn't anyone's fault. It was the wildlife that I was trying to capture on film anyways. But the good news is this, is that Jesus Christ died for my sins, right? Not only the ones that I committed yesterday or today, but the ones that we have committed for all time. Let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 10. The law is only a shadow. It's 10:1-4. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would not have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for the sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin. It is impossible for the blood of goats to take away sins. You know, in the past, after I kind of went through that process of looking for people to blame for my camera, you know, that would have kind of derailed me a little bit. Yes, I need to repent and I need to say I'm sorry and ask the Lord to forgive me. But how many times do we find ourselves in a situation where we commit a sin and then beat ourselves up about it for days and for weeks, sending ourselves into a depression, making us feel like we don't even want to go to church anymore because what good did it do, right? We've gone to church week after week. We've been in prayer meetings. We've reading our Bible, and yet we're still sinning. And so the devil tries to come in and he tries to remind us how bad we are, right? Oh, you're not changed at all. Look at all the sin that you still commit. His job is to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ and His glory and onto our own inability to overcome our sins. See, that's the devil's job. That's what the world is trying to do. The world tries to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ and get our eyes onto philosophy, get our eyes onto psychology or trying to fix ourselves by ourselves, right? I love those how-to books, right? How to fix your broken sink or how to fix your car. And there's so many how-to books on fixing ourselves, isn't there? I mean, you could read a gazillion of them and still be just as broke as you began. But you know how to fix somebody else, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, we can't fix ourselves. We can't go around causing change to be in us. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. It says in the Word, Hebrews chapter 12, it says, Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. Right? He's the one who starts it. He's the one who's going to finish it. And so we need to keep our eyes on Him. When we start to look at ourselves and our own inabilities, that's when we start to fall away from the faith. That's when we get confused. If I'm a Christian, then how can there be sin in my life? If I'm a Christian, how can I keep doing these terrible things? We get confused to what it really means to be a Christian. Even people in the Bible, there's so many examples in the Bible about people who are confused. What does it really mean to be a follower of Christ? You look at the disciples. You know, we always pick on Peter because one second he was under the revelation of the Lord and the next second he was falling all over himself denying who Christ really was. You know? And even he went through this process where he was so broken by his sin that he could have fallen away from the faith. He could have left and never came back. But we have an advocate on our behalf, Jesus Christ prays for us constantly. And there's scripture upon scripture that talks about even though we may stumble, we will not fall because He is there to help us. When we are able to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, even though we may stumble, He will not let us fall. But that means our faith has to be in Him, right? Not in us. The more I'm a Christian, the more I realize that I can do nothing apart from Him. I can do nothing apart from Him. When I was younger, I was pretty snazzy. I had confidence. I could do anything I put my mind to, right? You come out with that. You come out of college with that mentality. You know, you can do anything you put your mind to. Just give it the old college try. But when you find yourself in the Lord, The Lord is very quick to bring you to situations that are beyond you. And if you can do everything out of your own strength, then you're probably not truly in the will of God. You know, you're maybe a little bit there, but just enough so that you can do it, right? You've got to go all the way in and experience what God can really do through you. See, the devil even tempted Jesus Christ to do that very same thing, to get his eyes off of God and onto himself. When Jesus went into the wilderness and he spent 40 days fasting and praying about his next step in ministry, the devil came and tempted him. And if the devil will tempt the Son of God, don't you think he's going to tempt you? Don't you think he's going to challenge you? That he's going to ask or maybe get you to start thinking about yourself more than what Christ is to you? The difference is that Jesus knew the Word of God and he knew who he was. He knew that he was the Son of God, and he knew the Word, and he knew what was written about him. And when the devil came to tempt him, Jesus used the Word of God to stand firm. And what happened at the end of that process? The devil fled. The devil left. And just like it says in James, the book of James chapter 4, it says, when you stand firm against the enemy, the devil will flee from you. The devil will flee from you. Amen? And so, if we're caught in that process today, if we're caught by our sin, and we're confused about what it means to be a Christian, and we're confused in how we fit into this process, and how we fit into church, and what that means, you know, don't be afraid. Right? Don't be afraid. God has got you right where He wants you. See, what we need is a change of heart. We need to get our eyes back onto Jesus Christ. We need to have that revelation. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. It'll be up here on the board. So then, just as you have received Christ as Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and being built up in Him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ and He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and the authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Everything that I read this week all kind of led up to that sentence there. He said, He took it upon Himself and He nailed it to the cross. And then when Amanda, we were singing that song this morning where it was nailed to the cross. You know, that last, I think it was the last song, right? It was just a confirmation, man. It's just amazing how God works. I didn't tell you what we were preaching on today. I thought about it, but I'm like, no, let's see what happens. And it's just amazing how God orchestrates situations in our lives to get us to where He wants us to be. Whether we're 12, whether we're 18, whether we're 29, 39. No matter where we're at, God takes it upon Himself to lead us and guide us and direct us to where He wants us to be. I can remember back when I was a kid and all the events that led up to this point where I first felt the call of God to be a preacher, when I first understood what it meant to give Him my life. You know, I was 12 years old. I was in a Lutheran church. I was finishing up catechism. Anybody went through catechism? You know, whether it's a Lutheran church or a a Catholic church, I think it's the process is relatively the same, but they bring you up and you have your first communion and stuff like that. I remember going through that process, and I remember feeling such a presence of God. I'm like, I can't believe you guys aren't all like going crazy. Everybody's like, yeah, okay. You know, some of my other compatriots going through the process. I just felt the presence of God in that process. And it was just awesome. And how it led me through school and college and such things up until now. How God will lead us and guide us and direct us. Knowing that all our sins are nailed to the cross and that God has canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, He triumphed over them. He didn't just slide in, you know, like the Seattle Seahawks last week. He didn't just slide in on some mistake, you know. He made a public spectacle of the attempts of sin and death and the devil in our lives. He made a public spectacle of them. Nowadays, we'd probably be upset because Jesus should have tolerated them a little bit better. Don't make them feel bad. No, man, let's crush that dude. Let's crush the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus crushed him. He made a public spectacle of him. And in that process, He opened the door for us to walk in that victory. No matter where you're at, there's always going to be some naysayers, right? There's always going to be somebody there that challenges you. There's always going to be somebody there that's going to doubt your faith. They're going to doubt your Christianity. They're going to challenge you. They're going to attack you. They're probably going to be darn right mean to you. But what they're doing is they're exposing their own pain. They're exposing their own hurt. And what they're looking for is for you to respond appropriately. So many times we as Christians get very defensive. Not just to defend our faith, but really defending ourselves. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think of the different Christians that go around with big signs that condemn certain sins, you know? Oh, you're going to hell because you do X, Y, Z, you know? And those Christians are getting defensive for very little reason. There's really not a whole lot to that process. We're not going to win a lot of people to Jesus Christ by sitting there calling them names and telling them how dead they are, because they already know they're dead. You know, that's the thing. One of my colleagues that I had all of this conflict with, they already know they're wrong. Deep in their heart, they know. They know that evolution, or they know that atheism, or they know that what they're doing is wrong. But they want to know for sure that there's a better way. They don't want to just a little, they just don't want an inkling. They don't want to just have your word for it. But they want to know without a shadow of a doubt that what you believe is real. And that's our job as Christians, right? We've got to show them that what we believe is real. And a lot of times it means that we go through trials. We go through tribulations. The only way that we can go through those things and come out the other side spectacular is when we receive the heart of Christ, when we are able to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Just like it says in Colossians, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He fills us with His Holy Spirit. He fills us with His Holy Spirit. And that triggers something inside of us. It triggers a change in us. We may not see it overnight, but as we continue to walk out our faith, as we continue to live our lives in Him, being rooted and built up in Him, we start to change on the inside. Amen? How many of you guys have experienced that change on the inside? Man, you're not the same person that you were 10 minutes ago because God is at work inside of you. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is live and active. And He's changing us. If we want a physical comparison, you know, what makes us who we are as human beings is our DNA. You guys ever heard of DNA before? Well, probably if you ever watch CSI, we talk about DNA a lot, right? The DNA that we have inside of us directs us, guides our bodies, makes us who we are. Nobody else has the same DNA, right? And if there's bad DNA, then there's probably bad things that come out in your body, right? Sickness, disease, mental disorders. All of that kind of stuff is going to be shown through our DNA. Well, when we're born, we have the DNA of wrath. We have the DNA of sin. And you don't need to teach a child how to sin. How many of you guys have kids and you know that as soon as they come out and they're old enough to make their own, you know, do their own little actions, they start working. They start doing things. Mine, all that kind of stuff. They're selfish little turds sometimes. They do. Write that down. That's a quote. Selfish little turds. You don't have to teach a child how to be selfish. You don't have to teach a child to be self-centered. We are by nature that way, children of wrath. But when we become children of God, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become children of the Most High God. He fills us with His Holy Spirit. He fills us with His blood. And He changes us deep on the inside. Deep on the inside. He changes us. They say a leopard can't change his spots, but a person can change who they are in Christ. Now, not only do we have to realize that, but there's also, there will also come a time where we have to walk it out, right? It's not, it's only one thing to kind of get it up here, but it's another thing to get it in here. And to start walking that process out. How many of you guys ever saw a movie called Kingdom of Heaven? Have you guys ever seen that movie? It's got Orlando Bloom. All the ladies are like, oh, Orlando Bloom. Maybe, I don't know. But it's an interesting story. And it's got lots of swords in it, so the guys are like, yeah. It's kind of like Braveheart, but yeah. But this young man, Balian, loses everything. His wife dies, and he gets very, very angry with God. But then he finds out that he's a son of a lord of Jerusalem. And so he goes in this process of traveling to Jerusalem and taking over this landship, this lordship, and being established in authority and power. And he's like, man, I'm just a simple blacksmith. What am I going to do with all this stuff? But he goes through this process of understanding who he is and accepting it. It's one thing to be a lord or a duke. I mean, you can see this played out in some of the princes of England, you know, where one's like, yeah, I'm a prince, but then he does, you know, just acts unbecoming, right? Unbecoming of his position, unbecoming of his leadership. And so when we become Christians, there is a process of being changed from the inside out, changing our DNA. And then there's a process of realizing what that means. You know, what does it mean to be a Heinz? Someday my kids, my sons, are going to understand what it means to be a Heinz. You know what I'm saying? And we need to go through this process. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? When we're a Christian, it doesn't mean that we can just walk around and just, Lord, give me $100. Hey, $100. You know, it's not. It doesn't mean that we're entitled. It means that we have a responsibility. That's what it means. When you become a Christian, you have a responsibility. Yes, the Bible does say that God is going to bless you. And we should believe in that, right? We should believe in the blessings of God. But we should also understand that there's a responsibility that we all carry now. We carry the name of Christ. To understand that process, we have to, again, look at the Word. We have to receive it by faith. It says we are saved through grace by faith. By faith. There was a time in my life where I was in denial. I'm not talking about the river. All right? Not talking about the river. Okay? But there's a time that I was in denial. I did not want to be a pastor. I did not want to be a preacher. I was in denial. I'm totally fine just sitting out there and worshiping the Lord. I love worshiping God, and I am a worshiper of the Lord. But, you know, to be a preacher, to be up here speaking, didn't really want to do it. But there comes a time in your life where you are faced with a choice. You know what I'm saying? There's a time that you're faced with a choice. You know, married couples go through that, or people go through that when they become parents. You're faced with a choice. And you stand on that threshold and you say, okay, am I going to step into that position? Am I going to step into that parenthood? You know, when you find that special someone and you get married, am I going to step into that position as a husband or a wife? You have to make that choice, and you have to make that choice to be a Christian. Not only do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because anybody can say a prayer. One time in our church's history, we went out and we convinced 983 people to say a prayer. But are those people walking it out? Did they make that true decision in their hearts to be a Christian and to walk it out? And that's what it means. That's what it takes. We have to come to that revelation knowledge that we are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Let's look at the next scripture, Hebrews 10:19-22. It says, therefore, if you guys don't have your Bibles, it's on the screen there for you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Again, there's that word, assurance that faith brings. You see, no matter who you are, everybody has certain gifts and giftings and abilities that God wants to use. Whether we're 12 years old or 100 years old, God still has a plan for our life. God still has things for us to do. But we have to understand that by faith. You know, people ask me, especially if they're financial advisors, people ask me, so what are you doing for your retirement? I'm like, retirement? That's about it. You know, I'm trusting in the Lord. I don't really plan on retiring until I'm dead, because there's always something for you to do. You know, I'm not talking about retiring from work. I'm hoping to retire from a teacher, you know, teacher position soon. I wish it could happen tomorrow, but just throw that out there. All right, don't share that with my dean or my boss. But you know, honestly, when you look at the word retirement, that doesn't mean you're done. It means you're just stepping on to something new. You know, and I don't plan on living off a retirement account. I plan on living off the Lord, living off faith. may sound foolish, you know, to a lot of individuals, but that's what I'm believing for. I'm believing for the anointing that comes by faith. You know, the Bible says that we should live 120 years. It hasn't changed anything. I don't see anything in the New Testament say, oh, well, you're probably going to die when you're 50. Or you're 75 or you're 80. I don't see that. And so, I'm believing, at least at this point in time in my life, I'm believing that I'm going to live for a long time. And in that time that I have here, I'm going to do everything I can for the glory of God. Whether it's teaching someday, preaching, having our own ministry, you know, whatever God has in store for us. See, we take hold of those things, but we take hold of those things by faith. You know, if we're struggling in sin, if there's something that just has us down, maybe we struggle with anger. Maybe we struggle with frustration. You know, maybe it's just believing that we're going to have enough to eat next week. You know, whatever we're struggling with, God has it. He says that He has everything for life and godliness. Amen? Amen. We're going through a situation that is hard. You know, maybe it is struggle at work. You know, there is another time that I was in serious conflict with one of my other instructors. It was rough. They were very vocal. They were mad and they were upset. But we laid it down at the feet of the Lord. And that person is serving God now. That person is full on saved by the blood of the Lamb, serving the Lord with all of her heart now. And if I would have reacted weird, you know, and if I would have reacted in a situation or in that situation, defending myself and getting just as angry or upset as they were, that would have never have happened. And I praise God. This person is a testimony. This person is bringing other people to Christ, inviting them to church. This person is living for Jesus Christ now. But I believed in God's word. Romans 8:28 says, all things happen for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purposes. And if you believe in that, you will not try and defend yourself. If you believe that God has called you and that He loves you and that He died for you, you are not going to overreact in a situation like that. Because you know that He's with you. He said He promised that, right? He promised that He would never leave you nor forsake you. If we don't walk by the Word of God, it's almost like we're denying who we are. Right? If we don't know the Word of God and if we're not walking in accordance to it, it's like we're denying who we are, and that makes us illegitimate kids. You know, seriously, if we read the Word of God but then ignore it and deny it and say, oh, that doesn't apply to me, then we are acting like illegitimate kids. Kids that do not have a hope, that do not have a future in Him. And yet the Word of God is very plain, very clear in that word, very clear at that aspect. It said, if we are children of the Most High God, we have overcome the world, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Have you guys ever heard of that scripture before? It said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The Word of God also says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Knowing the Word is so important. And that's why we should read it daily, right? I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And where do we find that? We find it right here. And the B-I-B-L-E. Amen? And so we need to be in the Word daily, especially now. I mean, right now there's challenges to who you are as a Christian wherever you go. How do you know that Jesus Christ is the one true way to heaven? Well, one of the things that I've noticed is that no other religion is as persecuted as this. I mean, America was founded on faith, and yet every other faith can practice openly, but Christianity is the one that is denied. Christianity is blocked at almost every instance. You can't even have a word of silence, a moment of silence anymore, because, oh, they're probably praying. You can't do that. But if somebody wanted to throw a rug down and kneel and do their thing, that's fine. We won't bother you. That's your right. And yet we have no rights as Christians anymore. And it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. Jesus Christ himself said that times are going to come when people are going to want to escape, right? They're going to want to hide out in the hills. And we're going to need to know God's word so that we can stand and stand firm. Let's look at the last little bit of that chapter. Verses 23 through 26. We're all on this journey together. And that's one of the best things, right? Right? We're on this together, so. Right? Calvin should be here too. He's working, right? All right. But we're in this together. And that's a wonderful thing when we're in this together. All right. 23 to 26, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, there has been, and there is a group of people who just challenge the fact that you have to be in a church. Now, you don't have to be in a church. You don't have to go to church on Sundays. Well, part of that's true. You don't have to go to church on Sundays, but you really should be a part of a church. You need to be a part of a body of Christ. You need to be a part of a family of God. And this is what we are here at New Freedom Church. We are a family. Okay? Like our motto, loving people. Right? If you don't have brothers or sisters around you in Christ, friends in the church, it is pretty much impossible to do it on your own. You know, like when I was younger, I thought I could. Oh, I don't need to be all part of these small group things, be all exposed. And it was really because I was just afraid. I was afraid of being exposed and people judging me, being rejected, stuff like that. And yet, after I got past that fear of being rejected and being exposed as a fraud, you know, I got to tell you right now, I'm a fraud because I'm a sinner just as much as anybody else. And it's just by the grace of God that I'm up here sharing the word with you today. It's just by God's grace that any of us are able to function. But it's so wonderful to know that there's brothers and sisters that you call up. Say, "Man, I'm having a rough day. Will you pray with me?" Or, "Dude, I'm going through this situation. I need some hope." And that's the importance of going through this process, of having this journey together. You know, when you look at, everybody throws that word around a lot, journey, right? You're on The Biggest Loser. We're going through a journey of weight loss, you know? I tell you what, there's no journey greater than being a Christian and going through this life with each other. There's nothing more exciting, I guarantee you that much. There's nothing more exciting. You could be on The Amazing Race. That's okay, all right? That's okay. Being a Christian is pretty exciting. Going on this journey together is exciting. Encouraging one another, living together, motivating each other. Now that is something special because we need that. We need that motivation. It doesn't matter if you've been in church 5 years or 50. We need others around us who will encourage us. Amen? Who will motivate us. Who will challenge us at times. Get us back on track. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Life is hard, but God is good. Amen? No matter what happens in this life, we can be confident that we are heading in the right direction if we keep our eyes on Him and Him alone. Look at verse 25, and then we'll close. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. There's nothing more powerful than a Christian who knows who they are and what their purpose is. You know, maybe we don't quite know what our purpose is yet. Maybe we haven't quite heard our calling. But overall, our purpose, our real purpose is what? To follow Christ. Our real purpose is to be a part of a church body and to encourage one another to stay steadfast. May one of you guys come up? Just play some background music. It doesn't matter. Both of them again. Two for the price of one. They are a couple. They are married. These old married folks. But we need each other, amen? You know, maybe you've been struggling today. Maybe you've been struggling with some sin in your life, and you just need that encouragement to know that you're going to make it. Maybe we're in the middle of our purpose. We don't know what the next step is. Well, there's good news. God knows the next step. Amen?
Amen.
God knows the next step. Maybe there's just some struggles that seem overwhelming. Well, we're here. We are here to encourage you today. We're here to stand with you today. Amen? And so we're just going to ask if that's you. You know, there's only 25 people here this morning, so maybe we should all just come up. Amen? Because we all need this. But if you want some prayer, come on up. If you want to just offer your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, come on up. There's nothing special about walking 10 feet. Not, you know, not as far as distance goes. But in here, it's actually in here that you're making that step. It's in your heart that you're making that movement. You know? And so, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for what you have done. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus Christ, for all that you are. And I pray, Lord, as we finish up our service this morning, that you would just give us a revelation once again of what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be a follower of Christ, what it is to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Lord, help us to realize that we are privileged, Lord. We have the privilege of knowing you, that we are privileged to come before you, to lift up our needs and our concerns, and that you care for us, that you want us to draw close to you. Lord, whether we need strength to make it one more day, or whether we need finances, or whether we need healing in our bodies, whether we need to know what the next step is, Lord, you have it all in your hands, and you're just waiting for us, Lord. You're waiting for us to make that step in our hearts, to open up to you, to let go of our own abilities, let go of our own fears, our own failures, to let them go and to just receive by faith, to receive all that you have for us today. God's steadfast love endures forever for you, for me. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He has overcome the world. It's our turn. And Lord, maybe we're feeling pretty good today. But maybe somebody we know needs a touch. Maybe somebody we know needs a phone call. And Lord Jesus, may we take that opportunity to reach out to them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. Help them, Lord God, to keep their eyes upon you. Lord Jesus, we pray these things knowing that you hear our every prayer, that you don't let any of our prayers fall to the ground. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all that you are doing. You are doing in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you would like extra prayer, just come on up. We'll spend some time here in reflection. Otherwise, you know, you can go through that door on the right hand here and pick up your kids and love upon them a little bit. We just offer ourselves to you this morning.